all animation is based on change, I think. So you're changing one thing into another, and that lasts about 5 minutes. And then you can't stand it anymore. However interesting it is, you just unplug after 5 minutes. And the other kind of animation is drawings or images, computer images, that walk and talk, which that will sustain for 100 minutes, 72 minutes if kids have to have a pee, isn't it? That's the sort of rule. So obviously we're going to choose images that walk and talk.
Everybody,
welcome
to Acme Podcast Incorporated. I'm your host, Kaiju Emperor, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jenki. Say hi, Jenki.
Hello.
That was a new one.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Anyway. You know, we probably should have tried to do a Christmas thing, but, like, you know, whatever.
Christmas is more of a feeling. It's more of a...
It is.
I can make a really dumb Christmas comparison here about, you know, new life and reincarnation and the birth of Christ and the birth of some other character, but that might be a little sacrilegious to some people.
To some people. We're not naming names.
Yeah, me.
But yeah, I mean, like, the main thing with, like, doing holiday stuff is, like, what, you talk about holiday specials and shit, and it's like, what do you talk about even, you know?
You just sort of talk about holiday special, and just kind of end it with, and this made me feel good in the holidays because it emblemized X, Y, and Z about Christmas.
Right. I mean, like, there are, like, ones that are worth talking about, like, Tokyo Godfathers, right? But, you know, it's like, what hasn't been said about fucking Chuck Jones's The Grinch, or whatever, right?
Or The Extreme Dinosaur's Trouble in Winterland, episode 52 of the first season.
Ah, yes, a classic.
Iconic classic, where they have to, I don't know, meet Dr. Nicholas Klaus. I wish I were joking.
Remember that one episode of Buzz Lightyear of Star Command where Buzz found out that how Santa Claus delivers presents across the galaxy because he can stop time?
He can't. You know, I feel like the Santa stuff might actually fit in well with today's episode.
With the level
of power scaling bullshit and just, you know, time magic.
Yeah, I mean, power scalers, they got nothing on Santa.
Santa deniers coping and seething at his numerous abilities and his innate hockey.
Santa does have Conqueror's hockey, I want to be clear.
It was various instances. It happened in Grandma Got Over by Reindeer, remember?
That's exactly what happened.
In the courtroom, when he walked in and everyone stopped talking and listened.
There were, like, you didn't see it, but there were, like, some people in the background that, like, were knocked out by his Conqueror's hockey.
Yeah, some of the animators forgot to animate people. That wasn't a mistake. That was actually because they fell over.
And like, when you see Nick, Santa Claus isn't actually ever wearing gloves, those black gloves. Those aren't black gloves. He just always have armament hockey on at all times. He's always ready to throw hands.
Remember, guys, he delivers presents to every children all over the world in a day, which means he can outspeed the cameraman.
Mm-hmm.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Santa Claus confirms faster than Kizaru. Come on. Power scalers, get on this.
I hope to God I go on TikTok on Christmas and there's just Santa power scale, the Santa feet edits where it just has some, like, it's a holly jolly Christmas. And it's some fucked up, like, some fucking stupid funk edit of it. And it's just like feats, it's the battle IQ, fucking, I don't know. The whole
shebang.
Have
you seen people... Have you seen power scalers who are talking about Sportacus?
I remember that. I remember...
From Lazy Town.
I remember that because it was like... It's like, wow, Sportacus can do anything. Who could beat Sportacus? And then the... Like the devils they are, the fucking... The Baki fan base rub their fucking mitts like flies. It was like, you know who's like evil fucked up Sportacus? Yujiro Hanma.
Yujiro Hanma.
That is... The most fair fight in one of those is Yujiro versus Sportacus, because they both do the same thing, just, like, different methodologies for it. Sportacus because of, like, healthy living style and, you know, simple self-improvement, and Yujiro because he wants to be the strongest creature on Earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to eat healthy every day versus you can eat a little bit of poison sometimes. Sometimes eating good and poison makes you stronger.
Remember that, Bucky.
Remember that when you eat when you go to Sonic next time and get those lovely, lovely loaded chili cheese tots.
And apple fritters.
The fucking... I hate that the apple fritter fucking meme actually has cadence. If you eat apple fritters and also healthy food, you can get stronger. Oh, fucking... I hate... What have you been doing? I don't want to talk about Baki right now. We've been talking. We talk about every other fucking episode, man. I hate.
It's because Baki's always relevant. Baki's great, anyway.
Baki sucks.
Fuck Baki. Anyway, so a couple of things for me.
And
I've done like the holiday thing. You know, you watch the Christmas specials as you do. The holiday tradition that's one of my favorites is me and Adrian watched Saint Young Men.
Yay!
I love Saint Young Men. If you haven't seen Saint Young Men, watch Saint Young Men. It's so good.
We love our funny little interfaith comedies with a bit of subtext. Just enough where nobody gets mad.
And then, like, you know, the put on How the Grinch Stole Christmas and the fucking stop-motion Christmas specials, you know, the usual. But the two things that are, like, you know, interesting to talk about are, number one, I started watching the multi-part fan-made documentary called Reboot Rewind.
Ah.
Have you seen this?
I have not seen this, but I have to ask, is a certain Canadian of a certain super proclivity of a beast variety involved in this?
No, I don't think he is.
Really?
He might make an appearance at some point in the documentary, but I'm not sure. Because they do have, like, interviews with fans, but I'm only, like, in the first episode, and there's, like, 8 episodes of it.
I was gonna say, that's like, when you say reboot, it's synonymous with, like, fucking Wooly.
Yeah.
But he's not the reboot guy, it's just that, you know, when you think of Reboot, you think, hey, that's that funny little pin that guy wears.
Yeah, there are 8 episodes, and they're all at least, like, 40 minutes long, I think, most of them. Of Reboot Rewind.
So they have some voice actors show up, at least.
Not yet, but the first episode was just the how the show even got onto the air, so I'm sure we'll probably, the next episode, we're gonna talk about the show actually airing, doing the, interviews with, like, other people involved with the show, like the voice actors. But the first episode was mostly talking about the original creators, producers, how the show got made, why it was made in Canada, etc., how the guys met. And it's, honestly, some of the shit that they... I don't think anyone appreciates how much bullshit had to be done to make that show work. Because, like, back in the day, there wasn't, like, 3D animating software. That didn't exist. Right? So they had to, like, jerry-rig 3D modeling software. And, like, they would make models, obviously. And
Like, yes. I said, like, the concept of, like, rigs and, like, puppets and shit was, like...
Yeah, rigs and puppets, it's not, like, you could make a model, but, like, there wasn't, like, a software program that was specifically made for that. Like, they found one that they could jerry-rig to do what they wanted. And the other thing that people need to understand, there was not a single computer on Earth that could hold a single episode of Reboot digitally. So, how do you think that show got even made?
What, did every episode have its own dedicated computer?
No.
Is there a desktop for what every episode of Reboot is the, like?
All right, here let me give you a average apparent from what they told at least very early on. So, you had a very expensive machine that was basically made to, like, what's the word? Not process. The word that you use, like, when you upload a video or upload a piece of software or something. Process. There's a word for it. I'm trying to think of the word. Help me.
Render? Render?
Yeah, it had to be rendered. Yeah, it was a rendering machine. Cost so much money.
Ludicrous money?
Ludicrous amounts of money, probably several million dollars in today's money. And that rendering software would render a frame of animation, right? Like a single frame of, like, the 3D model for a piece of animation. Then that frame would be translated onto a piece of fucking film.
Oh.
And then it would have to render the next frame of animation and do that again. And render the next frame of animation.
Oh my god.
And every frame of animation could take hours to render. Because computers were ass back then.
Gee, like...
Obviously, they got better as time went on, but when they were working on their first early projects, that they would, like, literally leave the machine... They would, like, go, well, it's time to go... The thing has to go render, and they would go to the fucking bar and wait for the thing to finish rendering.
That's, like... Oh, my God.
Agony. And even when they improved the technology, it still took 15 minutes to render a single frame of animation.
Okay, 15 minutes is, like, much better than just hours, but, like, wow.
Yeah, but, like, for a single frame.
That just makes me respect the idea of, like, 3D CG animation a lot more, because, like, now...
No one had done it before.
Now anyone can do it. Now everyone's got Blender.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing that people need to, like, understand about Reboot, is, like... No one had ever done this before. This was the first time anyone had ever attempted to do this before, so they had to learn how to do it, you know?
Mm.
And I'm not going to spoil everything in the... Because there's a lot of cool stuff, like... Thank God one of the creators actually kept a lot of the sketches of concept art and storyboards and stuff. Because, you know, there's never a guarantee people are going to keep that shit.
Was there ever, like, a Pixar-style, like, flash drive story of, you know...
No, it's just, like, a bunch of, like, literally, like, sketches on paper of, like, character designs and storyboards and, like, early designs for characters and how they evolved and, like, talking about the, you know, stuff like the artists who originally designed some of the characters and how they came up with the idea. And apparently, like, Megabyte in the early test footage was gonna sound like Joe Pesci.
Okay, see, I know little bits about that show. He does not sound like that. He does not.
No.
He is way more just, like...
Tony J. Yeah. It's fucking Tony J.
Yeah, exactly. It's Tony J.
But, yeah. The more I watch it, the more I'm like, it's a miracle the show got fucking made at all.
Like, I see why there's a diehard fan base, because, like, this is... Everyone's just, like, the first CG, like kids cartoon. I feel like there was probably something else that just was shittier looking. But, like, definitely, like, the most fucking high concept, like, trying to do something.
It was the first show. Like, Toy Story was the first movie, but Reboot was the first show. No other, nothing had ever done this before. There were music videos that, like, used 3D. They were music videos. They were, like, 4 to 5 minutes
long. I know that story. I know the Money for Nothing story.
Yes, Money for Nothing, yeah. And they also did a Def Leppard promo video where they animated this, like, kid, and apparently that kid would eventually become Enzo in the show. And all this other stuff. There's all, you watch it, it's on YouTube for free. Like,
oh, fuck! Really?
Yeah. Yes. Because it was a fan project.
Ah, shit, damn.
Yeah, go watch Reboot Rewinds.
Nifty.
It's really fucking cool. There, to talk about, like, it being a miracle that show got made, there's, like, a story that they tell about, they were out at the bar, and one of the computers was rendering, and the fucking building got struck by lightning. And it's like, God does not want you to make this show. it's fucking great. I'm, like I said, only watched the first episode, but just so crazy that show even got to exist at all.
Yeah. Many shows would not survive being struck by fucking lightning, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, we need to talk about it on the show one day. One day.
Maybe we do a month of Mainframe, you know. There's other things that they did after Reboot. Cough.
Beast Wars. We don't talk about Beast Machines.
Maybe we should give it the college try.
Maybe Beast Machines isn't that bad. It probably is, but maybe it isn't.
Maybe we do appreciate the hit house song "Fat Planet" by Left Field. That's the Beast Wars opening. It was an actual song.
No, I know.
I heard it. One of my coworkers was playing it at work a few days ago, and I was like, "Is that the fucking Beast Wars?" He was like, "What's that?" I was like, "Oh, this is a song."
No, sorry. I think you mean Beasties. That's what it was called in Canada.
Really?
Yes, they couldn't use the word war in Canada, so they called it Beasties in Canada.
So true, Beastie.
So true.
So true. So... Future us, if you're listening, we got our title for the Beast Wars or Beast Machines episode.
That's the name of the fucking Beast Wars episode. So true, Beastie.
We did it.
Oh my god.
Future-proofed and copyrighted. If you steal that, we could sue you for like $3 or $4 max.
Hell yeah. I could buy a single soda with that money.
I could buy some fucking, Flaming Hot Cheetos with that. Maybe two bags of those. Ooh. Two bags of those.
Now you get the Flamin' Hot, I'll get the cheddar jalapeno ones. Those are my favorite.
We're fucking moving up in the world.
Hell yeah. Like 2 hours later, me like pouring out my empty bag of cheetah dust and going, I had it all! Anyway. The other thing was I watched a new show. When did it come out? It came out very recently. Just need to remember exactly when it first came out. It started in November. A show called Invincible Fight Girl.
Ooh!
Have you seen Invincible Fight Girl?
I've seen promos of it. I have not had the time to sit down and watch it on TV like a proper human being. Because I want to do that. I want to give a shit about curated content to my syndicated media. But I do have HBO Max, so I do have like a backlog to watch it one day, but I've seen promo for it. I've seen the commercials. It looks cool.
I would describe it as like, what if OKKO was about wrestling instead of superheroes?
Yeah, I figured that was the vibe. I figured it was the coolest thing ever.
That is literally what it is. That's the vibe, and it's like, there are literally Dragon Ball Z sound effects in this fucking show, and I'm like, are they allowed to do that?
It's on Cartoon Network. They have minimal rights. I need to ask though, production wise, is this like a Jason DeMarco thing, or is this like just a generic like cartoon? Like, is it a Cartoon Network thing that's on Adult Swim, like how Primal was, or is it the other way around? Or like, yeah, I mean,
as far as I know, it was made for Adult Swim.
Okay.
And Toonami.
Okay, yeah, that's sort of where I meant. It's like, is it Adult Swim or Toonami? Because those are somewhat different things, and that is somewhat different teams.
It's very much like a, like, on the line of, like, cartoon and anime. It wears its references on its sleeve. It knows exactly what it is, and it's trying to be, like, it's both silly, but it's, like, it's playing it straight at the same time with being, like, oh, this technique, I've never seen this before. And, like, they're straight up, like, a fucking, God, what's it called in Bleach? The fucking soul pressure.
Spiritual. They got spiritual pressure. Okay.
There was straight up a spiritual pressure reference in the second episode.
Additionally, I have to ask: is this like one of those Adult Swim things where it's like, ah, shit, you should be watching this, kid, or is it? Oh, you should be watching this, but if you do catch it late in the morning, like, here's some cool shit, kid.
Everything. Out of the first, like, four or five episodes I've seen, yeah, I would show this to my kid.
In a sense, yeah. Okay.
They would love it. They would love it. There's nothing in it that a kid can't see, basically.
Maybe some dams and some craps here and there, but, like, otherwise, it's one of those, like...
No, there's not a single curse has been said. Nothing.
See, that's what I want to ask, because the way this thing has been advertised, and several people have been talking about it, it feels, like, very much a... Because I don't want to be doomering about the fate of Cartoon Network and, you know, animation on that channel and, you know, the HBO Max David Zaslav sphere. But also, kinda dire, kinda not good, kinda holy shit, what the fuck. So seeing, like, a colorful show that sort of fits three different niches as being a Toonami thing, an Adult Swim thing, and... I assume it plays... What time does it play on Saturdays?
I'm not sure, but probably around, like...
Midnight-ish, 11-ish.
Maybe, or it might air earlier. I'm not too sure. I've been watching it online through other means. It's on Netflix, also, so there's...
It's on Netflix, too. Damn, like, they really want to, like... They really want this to, like, be around.
You can watch it... I think on Netflix, and then I think on Sling as well, like for free. So, you know, it's not hard to watch.
How many episodes is that right now? Four, you said?
Eight episodes. I've only watched four or five of them. The next episode is literally the newest episode is coming out in like 2 days.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch. I want to hop on that because it seems.
Oh yeah, not Netflix. It's on Max. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I was gonna say like that. That would be like a lot. Like you're telling me they want to put it on. They really want this. That you're telling me like they're cool with not having it on their bullshit streaming service that is losing things. And yet
it's on Max.
And yet I still have it because, God, do I want an easy way of watching the DCAU. For as long as they have it. Justice League Unlimited is on Netflix, but the original Justice League is on Max. Make that make sense.
Yeah.
That's just silly, I'm sorry.
What are you gonna do?
Them streaming services, that's just how it be.
Yeah, I'm watching that, and I'm also gonna watch... There was another show, I think it also... Yeah, it came out in December... That I'm also interested in checking out. Now, this one's a Netflix jam. It's called Gentry Chow versus the Underworld.
That one I haven't heard of. Or, like, maybe I saw it once. It sounds familiar somewhat.
Yeah, hold on. I think I can grab the trailer for you. There we go. I'm actually just going to post it in here. But, you know, it's your teenage superhero magical bullshit. I just want to be a normal teenager, not have weird supernatural powers jam.
Okay.
But it's like most of the, most of the cast are Asian. So, I think that's the appeal, is that it's, like, a very Asian-forward, created, and run show.
Forgive me for making the apt comparison of, like, you know...
Juniper
Lee? Yeah, I want, like, that, like, when you say that, I'm like, okay, this is, like... Not a copy of that, obviously. It's sort of like a filling the hole in that niche of Juniper Lee, and if you want to be pedantic, like really esoteric, like a little bit of My Life.
Yeah, it looks like there is going to be a lot of like dark horror stuff that definitely wouldn't be able to be aired in that same time slot. This is more in the young adult. Vibe. Some of the imagery I've seen in this trailer, like, I would not show this to my kids. This would probably give them nightmares. Definitely more of a, I'd show this to my teenager. But seems cool. I haven't watched it yet, but I was, like, looking around at other recent animated shows, and I was like, oh, I'll have to check this one out, you know. I kinda also wanna check out, Oh god, what's that one? Creature Commandos.
Ooh, that one's all. Yeah, that's another. That is also, I know for sure, on Max. And I think episode 4 of it dropped. And I don't. I've been keeping my blind eye just so that I need to watch it as blind as possible. But I did see an interview about how the most recent episode is a very big tearjerker for one of the goofier characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously, you know. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. Hey, if you haven't watched Arcane, you know.
Oh, the misery. Everybody want to be my enemy.
Go watch Arcane.
Go watch.
I won't say anything else.
Go watch Arcane if you like,
good shows. If you like good media, watch Arcane.
If you hate League of Legends, but like League of Legends characters, Redacting.
I know nothing about League of Legends, and I love
you.
That
you
show.
Literally don't, because the writer's first hurdle was how you use the universe with conflicting lore, and the answer was fuck it, make our own thing. And then the previous fuck it, quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a spoiler. There's a lot of fucking crazy sex scenes in that show.
Yeah, straight up, I'm like, man, I didn't have lesbian sex scene on my bingo card for this season, but you know, I'm glad it's here.
There's a lot of just like, damn, these action figures going crazy.
Mm-hmm. I am curious what that studio is going to do now, because they have like plans for other animated projects in the universe.
As someone who is unfortunately deep into the League hole, there's lore they can tap into. There's a lot of just lore bits that they can adapt into. It's just very funny that they chose, you know, Piltover and Zahn, which are two of the, like, not serious factions in universe. Their whole deal is just, here is Rich Society versus, the fucking Mad Max Badlands.
I mean, the reason they picked it is because Jinx is one of the most popular characters in the entire series.
So yeah, next in line would just be, like, whatever is popular. They said they want to try to do Bilgewater, which is the pirate sort of area.
That makes
and
sense.
And that also leads into a place called the Shadow Isles, which has fucking scary ghosts and, like, other shit.
Cool.
There's potential. There is so much potential in it that whatever they do, I'm interested in, because it just means I can see the characters I have been playing for, what, 10 fucking years now in a different, more interesting light.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people were also speculating about, like, a series that focused on, Yasuo, probably, would be another one, but, you know.
Whatever they do, I'm excited for it. I still have to really watch season... I'm gonna be real, I have to just watch all of it. All I've experienced is word of mouth from friends who have watched it. And, yeah, I have a general idea about what happened in season 1. Season 2, I'm kind of clueless about. Save for one thing that I know about how it ends, which I figured it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Some things kind of have to line together with the world.
Yeah. We have to leave at the end state of the current League lore.
It's not the same thing, just more of like a, we have to lead it into, you know what kind of place this was.
You knew what this was about. But yeah, that's me, pretty much. What about you?
League of Legends. No.
No.
Close enough, actually. I've been playing a lot of...
Marvel?
Marvel Rivals. Marvel. Marvel's back. Marvel. I have been kind of just in, like, a Marvel hole of, like... Well, just in general... More, like... I will say, first and foremost, yeah, Marvel Rivals. It been happening, new game on the block. The new Overwatch thing that everyone likes because it's free. All the characters are available on launch day and are going to be free forever. And it's just a fun 66 hero shooter, that has invalidated everything about Overwatch 2 completely. In both, like, gameplay, in both, like, character design to a degree, just the sit down and play with your friends kind of game stuff, the porn.
Honestly,
fan art. I'll leave that. I'll say fan art as like a much nicer way to say it, but like,
well, no,
you know what I fucking need.
One of the barometers for how popular a thing is how much porn is there of like, of it. And that's a pretty good barometer.
It's been here a week, and it's like. It's literally the fucking Toy Story scene of, like, just the posters getting replaced.
Mm-hmm.
The icons of the 3D animation industry, like Widowmaker mm-hmm. and D.Va and Tracer, replaced now with that fucking squirrel that I hate.
Mm-hmm.
All the Genji I Need Healing memes replaced with everyone either saying that they... love that little adorable Jeff the Shark, or how he is the second coming of Satan and must be strewn on a cross for his crimes of healing his team good? Of queuing up as support.
Some sins can't be forgiven.
True, the modern day Jesus, they hated him for the truth he said. I flip-flop between hating him, and I actually played him and realized, wow, none of you guys stand still. You deserve this. But I forgive you because I'm Jeff the Hawk. Jeff the Hawk. He does. I should mention that he does spit on people. So that's. He does do the thing.
Yeah, he does do the thing. Yeah.
Jeff the Hawk too.
Yeah, no, don't. Just, why? Why would you bring that evil upon our house?
Well, I could say it. Fucking, we're in a fuck you age of words and dissonance now. Fucking skibbity toilets in Fortnite.
Jank, I'm gonna sideline that for just a second. I'm gonna sideline this just for a hot second. I was in Walmart last week. And I just looked to my left. And I saw a skibbity toilet toy. And I wanted to, like, fucking walk into oncoming traffic.
I am 42. I do not care about skibbity toilet, says Gmod creator.
Oh, man.
It's... Huh. Yeah, my sort of media thing where you... Well, you've been enjoying the new and the obscure and cool. I have been reveling in what is niche and popular and... I mean, besides... Okay, Rivals actually is a good game. It is fun and enjoyable. It fills that hole so far, and I feel that just with like a little just a decent amount, not even like a crazy amount of balance, like just enough, it could be that good party game. It's a party game. I like there's a comp mode, and obviously I play it, and yeah, you know, I like to like have those competitions down packed and learn characters and like win these fights and, you know, be a sweat lord. But at the end of the day, it feels better to be a sweat in this game, like, because it's so early and new right now than Overwatch, where it's just, it had to remake its... It had to release OG Overwatch to get its player base back, because everyone was so, like, so deep into, like... I don't know, the three tanks, two healers, one whatever meta... Or three tanks, three healers, and then just... it's the same three tanks, the same three healers, and just... All the tanks have the same kind of personality of either being just, like, I'm a good guy, or... I am a fucking haughty asshole. Whereas with this, it's, like, established Marvel characters who can all be a little different...
Right.
And just, you know. Also, just want to give praise. I want to give praise.
Props.
Yeah. I want to say props and praise and just fucked up the word. I want to give props and praise to the voice cast in this game, because it's pretty much just, like, a lot of comebacks, a lot of returns from, like, other things, and then some newer takes, and then some actors who did other characters now doing completely different characters. Josh Keaton's Iron Man instead of Spider-Man this, because we already have, you know, your Ben 10 Mr. Man, Yuri Lowenthal as Spider-Man.
But he does
do a decent RDJ impression, and it's just nice to hear him. And it does mean if they ever did an amazing, a spectacular skin, well, you know who, you know, he's right there, China, come on. He's right there. Please, give him that run back. I know he got it in the Spider-Verse movie, but, you know, I like that era of Spider-Man a lot. Who else is of note? I mean, that's just, it's just a nice voice cast. It's just cool that they have, like, a Marvel game that is just up to... They could have very easily cheaped out and just gotten randos, but it's like, no, we're gonna get, like, the actual Marvel dudes that you know and love. Mm-hmm. They do... It is funny hearing some of these characters speak, like... I don't want to call it, like, in anime-isms, just, like, in, like, team action... Like, team... Like hero fighter, like, game-isms. Like, they say their moves and shit. Hearing Wolverine mm-hmm. say Berserker Rage and then not hearing him say Swiss Cheese instead. It's like a Marvel vs. Capcom game where it's like they have to say their attack names, and it's like they don't do that in comics. Which leads to this like cool like dichotomy of like, oh yeah, this is like Western comics designs mixed with like somewhat, because it is a Chinese like game company doing that, so there's gonna be some synthesis of stuff here. Certain characters look a little more visually. Okay, I don't want to call it anime, just like visually like more cartoony, or like stylized. Stylized, that's the word.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's neat. It's fun. That's sort of the biggest thing I've been doing. Everything else has just sort of been. I'm trying to remember if there was anything else that I crazy did. Christmas shopping. I did that. Mm. I splurged a bit, but that is what the holidays are for.
I'd be like that.
What was I gonna say? What else was I? Has I done? Yeah, that's about it. It's just Rivals and the Seasons, mm-hmm. and of course,
just the holidays.
Oh yeah, and of course, watching the Extreme Dinosaurs Christmas special, obviously for the first time.
The most important thing.
It's very important. You have a little bit of Scott McNeil in your Christmas.
You gotta.
Gotta.
Mm-hmm. So, that's it? You good?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about today's main topic, that time I was reincarnated as a slime.
Or Tensura for the Japanese folks out there.
Tensura Slimu. And welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
So, Cenk. I know that last time, people heard that you were not the most excited to do the show, at first.
Consider the green eggs and ham thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, how are we feeling now?
You know, I'm feeling pretty okay with that slime. You know, that slime? That slime's my friend. I like that slime. He's a good guy. He's a hardworking man. He helps his community. That's a good slime there. And I don't like that you disrespect him, Calm. He's my friend. Nobody talks ill of that Remover Tempest. All right, you mess with him, you mess with Tony Soprano. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's clearly a good guy. The man donated so much money to the city. He helped build the roads. You know,
he's like family. He knows how to make keeps. He doesn't make anybody agita. He keeps them calm. He knows how to butter. That's a working slime right there.
So, that time it was reincarnated as a slime is an anime based off of the light novel of the same name by one Fuse, who also has a character named after him in the show. Huh. In the original series.
With art by Mitzvah.
Yeah, mitzvah. There's also a manga as well. As many these isekai light novels, they get the full treatment, they get the manga, they get the animes, they get the movies.
The video games, the McDonald's toys, with Kung Fu Grip, fighting games with reaction missiles.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I would love a Kung Fu Grip action missile toy of Rimuru. It'd be awesome.
It's just a Rimuru toy, but it's just gack.
Yeah, oh, that'd be great. Or like a little, one of those little stress toys, but it's a Rimuru. But anyway, yeah, it was, anime was launched by, believe, it's like Kodansha does the manga, and I also think Kodansha did the anime as well. I don't know who did what studio is the animator for this. Let me check. Anime was done by, and by 8-Bit. What else have they done? A lot of more recent stuff. Like, their first thing was in 2011. So, not a very, super accomplished studio. I'm trying to see if there's anything else they've done here that I recognize. Oh. They were the animators for the first season of Blue Lock. And the second season, actually, because it's Kodansha.
Ah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Listen, I'm not going to get into the Blue Lock Season 2 discourse. I'm just not. Do you know about that?
I know there's a bit of a... There's a bit of a decline. A little bit of what people have been calling the fart aura.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into that discourse. But anyway, yeah, like, this kind of seems to be their most prominent thing that they've worked on. And... No, I wouldn't say that there's anything, like... crazy in terms of animation here, but like, you know, it's a competent looking show.
I will say, actually, they worked on other things somewhat adjacent to last episode. They worked on another Kawamori production, Macross Delta. No, Macross F. Macross Frontier, I believe, is what they were.
Oh, okay.
They've done some of the of those shows, I think, an Aquarion or two.
Mm-hmm.
They're a studio that is used if it's not Studio Satellite, is what I'm trying to say. Or is that? Yeah. I think that's the right studio.
Okay.
Interesting. But yeah, Tensura seems like one of their continuous big things.
Yeah, because season 3 came out like not that long ago, actually, and so did the movie.
Ooh.
Yeah, there was a movie original plot to the. For a movie, you know, which tends to be the thing for a lot of those, when movies get made of these types of things, they have to make an original film. Like, whoa, who knew that Benny Maru had this long-lost brother? What? That's literally the plot of the movie.
Oh.
I'm not joking.
There was a second Ogre Village.
No, I mean, kind of.
Damn it,
He left to go do something, and he ended up serving a demon lord, and that's the conflict of that movie, apparently. So, I haven't seen it. I just know that that's what that movie's about. I don't know if it's good or bad. I haven't seen it. I should probably watch it, though. So, for this one, I watched the sub, and you watched the dub, right?
Yes, I watched the dubbed.
How's the dub?
I'll give you the long and short. Is that it is a like Funimation dub, like just straight like through and through Funimation, like for Crunchyroll dub. So a lot of like modern day slang localisms, like thrown in there. They're actually not that bad because they just sound like normal. It's just funny hearing the little slime go, just say funny words, talk about how he's gonna get swole to his little students. Or no, that he's that it's like, don't worry, kids. I'm swole as heck. It's like, teach. You gotta be a. Aren't you swole as heck? It's like, ah, damn. He really latched onto that.
He really latched onto the word swole.
Like, there's a line in the later part of the season or when he befriends like Milim, it's like, of course we're friends, besties for resties. We're really besties for resties, and then everyone's like, yay, besties for resties, besties for resties. Like they're all chanting that. It's like that got me a fucking smile on me because I'm like, damn.
I mean, that's kind of what happens in the sub. It's just like he's my bestie forever. Right, everybody? Yeah, besties forever.
It's the same energy. I'm like, you know what?
Same energy.
A little bit of that's not gonna kill anybody.
Exactly. I saw clips of the dub, and I'm glad that Veldora, the guy who plays Veldora, really captured Veldora's tsundere energy.
Fun fact: he's voiced by Chris Rager, who you may know as Mr. Satan.
Oh.
I heard it, I was like, oh, that sounds familiar, and then he got a little gravelly, I was like, wait, that's Mr. Satan! That's the Dynamite Kiss! Dynamite Punch! The fake present!
The main man! Yeah. There's actually a lot of people in the Japanese that I'm like, I recognize, like, King Dwargo is Atsukaya Hashi, who... the thing I saw him in most recently was he was in the Dragon Quest anime, The Adventure of Dai. He plays like the main antagonist in that. And then I also recognize Rimuru's voice actor, Miho Okasaki, I believe her name is. She's just in a bunch of stuff. Like, she mainly plays like either young characters or just like lady characters. I think she was in Fire Emblem at one point. And it is interesting that she's playing this, like, weird non-binary character. Which, by the way, that's one of my favorite things about Rimuru, is Rimuru was like, you know, I never thought about what my gender was since I became a slime. Oh, well.
No, I can see why you like this show, because it is kind of the show about the monsters.
Yeah,
but in like monsters. A way of less like, it's less like, all right, guys, we're gonna make a show about the Horde, and more of just, yeah, here's just what fucking monsters do when you just make a society out of them, and it's just kind of society building, because no one ever thought to do that because fucking
Oh man, my favorite things in the show are fantasy logistics.
Dude, every time they do like econ shit, I'm like, yes, yes. I remember this when I went to high school and had to learn that. I remember this when I had to play Sid Meier's Civilization.
Talking about like, oh man, we'll obviously need to build roads, and talking about like, well, if we're gonna build a village, we gotta have like smiths and like guys who are like skilled engineers and like, I'm like, yes, logistics. I love logistics.
Yeah, yes, Rimuru, the evil mind controlled orcs must now be the labor force, but they will be paid good wages, because that way they work better and we get better economy.
What if we took these people who are in a really bad situation and gave them food and shelter and a job, and that made their lives better? What a concept.
I like that Riru's goals are very much, because the thing about the show that I had to really get over and maybe enjoy it more was like, okay, where's this world is fucked up beyond belief, and this fantasy is your final, the fucked up one. It's like the Shield Heroes and the Mushoku Tenseis of like, here's the problems of the world and the big training arcs. Like, no, it's less about big fights and more just, here's this guy that sort of fixes problems in these unorthodox kind of ways. And his only reasoning is just, yeah, I kind of want a world where everyone's happy.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, eventually, as the series progresses, he runs up into the larger powers at work that will, like, he has to deal with because they are actively causing problems with him wanting to have a peaceful life. But, you know.
You know, right now, it was just like, here's Rimuru solving shit with his smorgasbord of powers and... just like being a chill dude, like again more dubisms, but just like the way that what was it, Brittany Kabrowski? I don't know how to pronounce her fucking last name.
Kabrowski,
Brittany Kabrowski, aka fucking Celine Bradley from FMA or Black Star from Soul Eater. The way she, like, is just so laissez-faire is, like, it's all good, my dude. You can chill. I don't have any beef with you. It's like literally that's what he says whenever, like, mm-hmm. someone's like, you must take my head for my transgressions. Like, nah, dude, you're good. We'll call it even Stevens. It's like, okay, really?
Anybody got a problem with that? No, we're good. We're good.
Like, yeah, you know? it's the vibe. It's like I watching it dubbed gave this vibe of, like, not a character that doesn't give a fuck, just a character that's like, I'm not about that. I'm not, like, I'm not written to be the evil demon lord type thing. I'm just here to I'm glad I'm still fucking alive.
Yeah, I just kind of want to vibe and, like, you know, but unfortunately, I have to deal with all this politics bullshit because you people won't leave me alone.
Now I'm Chancellor of the Great Jura Tempest Alliance.
And now fucking Dio is here. Just fucking
Dio and stop his my Dio shit. And his fuck ass clowns are here.
Yeah, he is actually voiced by Koyasu in the Japanese.
I did not even need to like guess that. I fucking figured it. I figured.
Like,
I was
look
claiming.
At him.
This is 2018. He was literally playing four of the same fucking character that year, I believe.
He was. This is for true. I think my favorite thing, like, this is me rewatching it. I think my favorite thing is, like, man, I forgot that he's just, when he, like, him dying is like, wow, that just gets stabbed and just bleeds to death in the streets. It's like, fuck. That's fucked up, actually.
It's not the truck.
Truck-kun has not taken on the victim.
It is not the, like, oh, the truck, what a horrible accident. It's like, nah, some dude just, like, I hope they don't make it, like, the outside forces possess some guy. I hope it is really just, yeah, some dude, like, imagine if you were walking the street, your coworker's bragging about his new girlfriend, you're like, eh, whatever, and then some dude mistakes you for another guy, and you get stabbed, and it's like, wow, that sucks.
Yeah, it does, and he just got stabbed, and his coworker, what a real one, please delete my hard drive. No one must ever know.
No one must ever know about all the elf dojins I have.
Which is the most vanilla thing he could possibly have on that computer.
No, but, like, the idea that he's this 37-year-old dude who, like, keeps his shit together and is, like, supposed to be straight-laced, but he's actually kind of a nerd.
Yeah, he's just, like, a weirdo.
Like, you know. Imagine that it's like this for just, like, not, like, just, literally just one game. Like, we only ever saw the one game.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know, man. As far as these Isekai Pro tags go, Rimuru is, like, the nice middle ground of, like, kind of a loser, but also kind of, like, just a good person. He's an everyman. He's a genuine everyman, and I like that his goals are kind of just generic, I want everyone to have a happy life, because it leads to just, you know, better back and forth writing between just when he gets serious versus when he gets, like, silly.
Mm-hmm. And the conflict of the show comes from the fact that, like, yeah, you want to live a normal life and, like, have a peaceful life, but, like, unfortunately, Society.
Yeah, like, it starts off with just like, okay, I live amongst the goblins, but then bigger and bigger fights, like, oh, well, I want to help people. It's like, hey, you can't just, if you were a human, well, you know, that's the thing too, is like, if he were just reincarnated as a human, then he would have just, you know, been that other guy, fucking, I forget his name, the guildmaster guy, who's also an otherworlder.
Oh, Fuse.
Not Fuse.
Oh, no, the other guy, yeah, what's his fucking name, I just had it. Satoru.
Satoru is his human name. The other Yuki. I think that's his name.
No, Yuki. Oh no, Satoru is his human name. Well, yeah, I think it was Yuki.
The guy who has good taste and reads Land of the Lustrous.
But also, who might be a big fucking traitor? Maybe. He's got bad vibes, man. Bad vibes. I think he's one of those guys. You know?
No, you seem chill. What?
Well, there's some stuff there that it's very subtle, but there's more stuff that happens.
I know he gave him a mean glare, but, like,
Yeah. My thing is, like, even when I first watched this, I was like, he gave that up way too easy. Right?
Huh.
That felt a little too easy. Right? I feel like there's something there.
Nah. But, you know. Nah, he reads Peak. He can't be an enemy.
Yeah. Maybe. But yeah, Slime, I love a lot of the early episodes of Slime, because it's like a really, it's cozy in a weird way, even though there's like fucking murder.
I like reincarnated as a slime when the slime is a slime. It gets to do mm-hmm. slime things. And no, because episode one is literally just, I died, what the fuck am I? Oh shit, I'm a slime. Huh.
What can I do with that?
And episodes two and onward are like, episodes two to like, just whatever reason the cave is like, alright, let's see what a slime can do. By the way, I'm the little voice in your head. Here are all the unique skills you asked for. I was like, what? What? And it's just,
Yeah, Great Sage. I love Great Sage.
Great Sage rocks. I like Great Sage a lot. I didn't realize that they're like,
it's unclear, like, but I think in the Japanese that they refer to Great Sage as by a feminine pronoun. But unclear, they are like some sort of like weird disembodied voice. And obviously the author created Great Sage to have, whenever Rimuru was by themselves, they needed so that Rimuru would always have a character to talk to.
That's true.
And, like, have an internal dialogue.
I noticed a lot of that. Like, Rimuru's never, like, by himself. There's always, like, some other character to pop off of because, you know, be boring otherwise. Yeah. You don't want to hear this. That's what I'm saying. It's, like, a lot of isekai that I know are always, like, the character's internal monologue. Like, it's always, like, internal monologue shit of, like, back in my old life, I was whatever, whatever, whatever. Back in my old life, I suck, but here, I am the coolest. And with him, it's like, man, I miss Yakiniku so much. I wish I could have that. I miss seeing glass.
That really is one of my favorite things about Rimuru, is that he's just kind of like, you know what? I might as well make the best of this. This is alright, actually. You know? He's just really cool with the entire idea of, like, well, I'm reincarnated, I'm, you know, make the best of it, right? Like, not, he's not focusing on the fact that he died all that much.
He's focusing on the fact
that he's not doing the isekai thing of like trying to get back either, you know?
He's just like, holy shit, this world, the host bars here have elf girls that are real. That rocks.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Hell yeah, elf girls are for real.
You're telling me instead of being a salaryman at a regular host bar, I could just be a salaryman in an elf host girl bar?
You don't say.
Total upgrade.
Yeah.
Why would I want to go back to the boring lame world?
Yeah. Then, like, we slowly do the, I really like that, like, Slime kind of takes its time to really introduce its larger cast of characters. Like, it feels like some isekais, like, we want to get, like, our, like, main characters in, like, right then and there, but we don't meet, like, Benimaru and the Oni for, like, a while, and they're, like, so prominent, like, later on.
All the openings have fucking lied to me, because I'm just like, alright, here are all these characters, all these fights, they're gonna happen, like, breakneck, and it's, like, the quote-unquote, like, I forgot her name, Hinata, the sword, like, the sword lady that Rimuru was fighting in the first opening, it's like, okay, we're gonna build this conflict, and it's like, she literally does not have a scene where she is even near Rimuru until the fucking second-to-last episode. And she's like,
yep.
I see, a slime, and then fucks off. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're
they,
that kind
they
of slow.
Do have a they do have a fight, it's just not until the second season.
Which I think is, like, at first glance, a little bit lying to the audience, but in hindsight, yeah, I like that they focus. I feel like that's more just for readers who read the book are like, okay, here are all these characters here. I'm noticing that there are a lot of just, guys, look, it's that character, and it's like, who is this? I'm like, oh, wait, this is totally for, like, someone who's a light novel reader and wants to see these characters, like, visually shown off. Because mm-hmm. I did look up the illustrations, and a lot of characters trying to translate, I can see why certain characters look the way they look. The sharper, like, Mitsuha's, like, sort of sharper, like, kind of, I don't want to call it Nomura-esque, just, like, when it, like, that kind of, like, 2000s-y look for those characters kind is more interesting on paper than animation. I can see why Gobta looks the way he does. He kind of translates better as like a goofy little like Scrimblo. But it is funny that I love Gobta.
I really, and out of like the first few characters we meet, I really like oh god, I just had his name.
Rigard, or is it Rigard?
Rigard. I love Rigard.
Rigard's fucking funny, because,
I love him.
I forget the funny, like, it's one of the Funimation, like, mainstays, who, like, just voices, like...
Kent Williams?
Yeah, Kent Williams! Kent Williams is so good, because he does, like, old man Kent Williams' voice. It's like, oh, Lord Rebrew, thank you for giving me this name. And it's like, Rebrew, it's good to see you! The village is under my... And he flexes care. And it's like, fucking...
Yeah, his Japanese voice actor, Kanahir Yamamoto, also does, like, such a great job. Oh, man. He's such a, like, minor character, but I really like him for some reason.
I'm glad that every sort of, like, just quote-unquote side character just is somewhat relevant. Speaking of roles kind of diminished, but it's like, yeah, Rigard is always gonna be... Like, he's always in a scene, and he always will have, like, a line or two... Ranga is there. He's a good boy. We love him.
Oh, I love Ranga. Ranga's the best boy.
He's such a good...
Look at him.
I can't stay mad at the funny dog who just acts like a dog, but he's just really fucking big.
Yeah, and, I don't know if this translates to the English, but in the Japanese, he always refers to Rimuru as Waga Aruji, or my great lord, or my great master, basically.
He always says Master Rimuru, which is like...
Mm-hmm.
That I'd kind of like would like to hear, but it's, you know, that's just something you can't really.
I think Waga Aruji is sort of like the way a samurai would refer to their like liege lord.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's very similar. Like Waga Aruji, I love that. I love the fucking the brothers. I love them. They're great. Kaijin, you're like, speak up, man!
Kaijin's cool, thank you. This show has some lines just for me, like,
mm-hmm.
Cool dwarf man with big dwarf beard, shirtless hammering scenes, awesome. His somewhat tragic rival who's a scientist, and a little nasty, but he's got some wrinkle on him. That one scene later on, it's like, why do I want to share a bath with an old man? You know, Reaver, that's a blessing in some places. Some of us would wish to have that.
Yeah.
What was I talking about again?
I don't know what we're talking about. out of all of the, like, members of the Jura people, who is your favorite character?
Of like, the Jura Alliance?
The Jura Alliance, yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, a character... I mean,
they're all pretty good.
Every Gobta scene was always like, oh, here's, like, it's, every time he was on scene, something happened to him, I was like, they keep being mean to the funny goblin. I don't like that. He's trying his best. But he's competent and shit.
Rimuru and Rimuru just left him in prison because he fell asleep.
Yeah, and then he Sigma'd his way and learned innate cool skills like the shadow step and goblin boxing.
Yeah.
He's a prodigy, through and through.
You know, I honestly thought, like, I had two guesses as to who your favorite character might be.
I mean, you might be right on both of them. I like a lot of characters. I like a couple characters.
My guesses are Geld the Second, you know, the Orc King after the original Geld died, or Gabiru.
Okay, so for Geld, I like both Geld's conceptual... I'll do this now. I like them both because it was a very nice, albeit very just like... Naruto swing set moment of like, here's their tragic story, but damn, was it a good
works.
What a good, like, I have eaten my comrades and everyone and devoured their sins so that I may be the great evil demon lord, but in doing so I will save them by being this like monster for the
I will take upon their sins. And then Rimuru is like, I'll take your sins for you, and that's the thing that we finally let go. Like, okay, even the sins of my people.
You take the sins of me and my people. You're far too greedy, Slime. Yeah.
You're far too greedy,
I'm
Slime.
I sure am greedy, and it's like, damn, that's...
It's good.
That's
good,
Slime. That was fucking, hold on, just... It's literally just the fucking Blackbeard picture of, like, damn, his writing is this fire.
Yeah, it really is.
It's just, like... Oh. It's just, it's perfect. It's, I love it so much. I love Ig as a metaphor for love. I love it. I love cannibalism as a metaphor for love.
I've done the Shizu shit. We'll get to the Shizu shit in a minute, because that's a whole thing. We're probably going to unpack the orc stuff later as well, because we are kind of slightly going in, like, order of events, like, just a little bit. I mean, we're skipping around, but, like...
I did just jump to that, because that's more of, like, me liking the orcs as a whole.
Yeah, the orcs are great. I love pig
going
orcs.
Back a bit more... Yeah, fucking, I love Gabiru. I'm sorry. He's such a fucking... fucking funny, man. Because it's like, you meet a named demon that Rimuru didn't name, and it's like, oh shit, or a named monster that did not get named by him specifically, and it's like, ah, oh, shit, what's he gonna do? What's his deal? And he's a fucking shitter. He loses to base Gabta.
he is a shitter, but he's also like... He makes up for it, like, really.
No, really, because like, he has his little hype boys and he loves them. And and his dad is like, you're for your crimes, it's like, he will kill me, certainly. This is what I deserve as a traitor. It's like, you're to be exiled. Go now and leave this place. He's like, thank you, father. And his boys are there. It's like, whatever. If you guys want to follow me, that's fine, but don't get in my way. I expect the best from you. And then he does the little tear wipe. It's like, Sir Gabiru can do anything. We'll follow him to the ends of the earth. It's like, oh.
And it's like, I'm gonna go, and like, he just shows up, and Rimuru's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, well, you see,
I'm exiled, but now everything is all cool, and fucking, oh, God. The ogres are cool, too. They have, it's this thing of, like, they're neat. I just feel like I have not seen them do intricate things yet, because they're kind of just sort of, they
get to shine a lot more in season two.
That's what I'm hoping for, is like, I want to see more characters do shit without Rimuru around. I want to see them function as characters more than just Rimuru talk pieces or gassing up the great lord Rimuru Tempest.
Yeah, there's a lot of like stuff that happens with that, like characters, you know, getting to have their cool moments. And coming into their own and having their own, like, I need to, like, be able to do my thing. Okay. And
actually, well, Baymar got them of like the fealty and like becoming this chill, cool, like samurai general. If I could make a gripe, or do we want to?
Yes.
If I could make a gripe about Slime, though. And I'm sure you noticed this. It's like, okay, these cool monster alliances, monsters making society, and all that. It's kind of a bummer when, you know, they get the names. But the goblins, it was funny. They all got buff and swole and shit. Why are the ogres stronger? Because they look more human now.
Yeah, that's just like a thing. Like, when monsters become more humanoid or whatever, it's like they're stronger or whatever. Yeah,
when the ogres did it, it was like, okay, you know what, fine.
The dragon newts, the lady dragon.
That
lady
pissed me off so fucking much.
That fucking cowards. Absolute cowards.
That pissed me off so much. And it's like, I get like the joke of like, oh yeah, they're stronger now, and then Gabiru stays the same because he's fucking Gabiru, but like, I would have liked. This is a monster village. If they could like do the Rimuru thing of like ninja art shapeshifting, then that's fine, but the fact that they just are like human now.
Yeah, I will tell you that they do try. He does try and course correct when, like, some of the newer members join later. They are more monstrous.
Like, I like the idea of, like, it's a free monster guild or a free monster, like, outer heaven, like, society. And they're all, like, still heroic characters, but, you know, just let them have, like, come on.
Be weird monsters. Yeah, no, you're correct. I agree with that.
Let her shoot blood from her eyes.
My favorite character is Shion.
Really?
I Yeah, I do. Listen, I do love the Secretary Who Breasts Boopoli. I'm gonna be honest. I like the Secretary Who Breasts Boopoli.
You like the big. I want to say 8 foot tall ogre lady with the big sword.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. What a shock! I know.
Gee, the amorphous, the pansexual, the agender slime character, and the big breasted boobly ogre lady. Damn, mm-hmm. It feels like this show is made for certain demographics.
It's almost as if
looks to camera, then looks to fellow Discord member, then back to camera.
Mm-hmm. And she gets a lot of stuff later.
I hope so too, because yeah, that another minor thing is just, you know, she kind of just is the first interaction we get is, all right, here this ogre guy is pretty strong, this ninja dude's pretty tough. And, whoa, look at the fucking boobs on that lady. Look at the the holy boobs.
He's like, "Oh, sorry. I didn't mean. Wait, no."
Ending one also like that. Do you know that one part ending one?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, yeah, like, I know it's supposed to be serious, but like, come on. That's,
yeah, she gets stuff later. Don't worry.
I hope so. I hope, again, this is not me trying to like gatekeep or say characters can't look like that. It's more just, I hope there's more to it.
I think that the most egregious of this is Milum, though. Like, her entire ass is just out.
Like
why?
I will say, not like a spoil. I did look into it just to see. I know she gets a quote unquote better design.
Oh yeah, it's so much better.
I wish that were the default, but I did look into it and I realized why it's not. It's the fucking Jack the Ripper problem. Give her some fucking JNCO jeans.
Give her some pants.
Just anything else.
It's like, why are we having this serious moment and her entire ass is just hanging out?
There was actually one scene where she was a little off model and they made her like, I hate calling it that, but it's a fucking a thong. They made it look like regular like underwear, like, I don't know, like short shorts, and that actually looked better. Yeah,
that was so much better. If she was just wearing like short shorts, that'd be fine. That'd be totally fine. That'd be fine
with
that.
It's just like, it's a kind of hair design that I don't care for even less than Shion, because at least with that, it's like, okay, that's a grown woman. This is, like, also a woman, question mark, but also,
she
like,
is,
a child.
She is.
But with, like, the weird child tendencies and designs that lead to implications I don't really care for.
Yeah, which sucks, because I like her, like, as a character.
No, dude, okay, like, adding on to Listener, the dragonkin punch girl who likes to literally just punch and punch harder and punch harder some more. That is her character. She likes to fight. She's Goku.
Yeah. She's Goku, but she's also like, Rimuru is like, oh no, I know exactly her type and I know exactly how to manipulate this bitch. And that's one of my favorite other things about Rimuru, is that Rimuru solves a lot of problems just being like, what if I just make friends? What if we were friends, actually? And it's like, yeah, okay. We'll be besties.
Yeah. I guess another just nitpick is, like, characters kind of put things aside too fast, but I'd argue that's actually a credit to the show. It's more of the optimism of, like, hey, yeah, with talking and goodwill in mind, even the most bitter of enemies, like, the enemies today, friends tomorrow, like, can happen. The scene where Gabiru and Gel II are like fighting together and giving each other props, I thought that was nice. A little ham-fisted of like they're friends now, but like I liked that was the core message of the show of like, hey, yeah, let's all try a peace. We can all be friends. Let's all be friends. Yeah. It's positive. It's good, like non-serious positive, and made me feel like happy to see that.
Yeah, and then I think there's all that stuff, and then I think there's a lot of, like, this is stuff that starts to get, you know, built up as the show goes on, but we really get hints of, like, the larger goings-on in this world, and there's a lot of, like, cool mystery, like, the stuff with Shizu and Leon Cromwell, and all the kids being summoned by the
Nations.
the nations as basically super weapons.
Fucking the Yuki, is it Yuki or Yukai? The other guy who's like, he's been here and we have no idea how long he's been here, just long enough where he's missed out on certain manga series.
Mm-hmm, yeah, Yuki.
But he's in a closer to the era that Rimuru is from. Also, is Rimuru from the future? Because when that joke about Final Fantasy 19 was said, I was like, is that like him being silly? Or is he actually...
That was him being silly.
Okay.
That was him being silly.
Okay, I figured. I was like, I assume like, yeah, Slime is as like modern as it was, like a 2018, 2020 kind of vibe.
Yeah, he was just being a silly guy. But also, like, it's interesting that, like, the summoning, like, it's not, you can be summoned from any point in time.
And also anywhere, too, not just Japan, because we did have, like, an American kid and two not Japanese girls.
Yeah, Chloe and, I forget the other girl's name.
Alice.
Yeah, Chloe and Alice. And then, the thing with Chloe, it's like, wait, what does that mean? That thing at the end of that arc?
Yeah, that's a little ominous. What do you mean, future power?
I mean, I kind of understood what that meant. Like, I think, like, the implication is that Chloe has time powers and that she is the hero from the flashback who fought Veldora and sealed him away and also is the hero who met Shizu so that she would meet her past self. I think
is
that
the implication. A spoiler? Is that a thing where even if you have context?
You can get that from the first season.
Does it get explained properly? Is what I want.
No, that has not been explained at all yet. Even in the stuff I've watched, that's just the vibe. That's just what I got out of it.
Well, get to reading those light novels, kiddo.
Seriously.
Start learning Japanese.
I mean, a lot of them are in English now.
That's so true. It's at volume like 33 now. This is bankrolling.
Bankroll. Money.
Merchandising.
Yeah, I actually really did like that arc with the kids because I'm like, man, I kind of would if this was like a show by itself, this would also be good, like an isekai hero teaching a bunch of other isekai heroes how to use their powers.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
I like that the show throws curveballs of like, okay, now we're doing this. I think that it was weird to have the last three or four episodes be that and end it there. But like, it wasn't bad. It's just like, I understand they have to sort of adapt a book and they can only, like, a long-running book series and they can only do so much of the season. I don't want to leave any cliffhangers or leave it too late. And I think it's nice. It just felt like... Actually, no. A good way to say it is I feel like vignettes. I feel like every season was like a series of vignettes and just like where you could watch them in sort of an order. But otherwise, all you do is just learn maybe. I think once Rimuru gets like once like Jura Tempest is like established, that's kind of like the actual starting point. And everything afterwards is just sort of like, hey, here's what Rimuru did in the world at large. I'm sure there's going to be a new status quo next season.
We're setting up for Clayman as, like, an antagonist of the second season. The other demon lords have been, like, established. You know, we've, like, said that, like, there are a lot of... Like, we don't know how many at this point in time, but there are many demon lords other than Clayman.
Did they say 12, or was that demons?
Oh, no, they did state that there are 10 demon lords.
Okay.
There are 10 demon lords, and we know of, you know, at this point we know Milim, Clayman, Leon Cromwell,
Carrion, and then the Angel Lady.
Carrion and Frey. They're the five that we know of at this point in the show. There's five of them that you haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm. Alright.
And then whatever the fuck is going on with the clowns, that's a whole other thing.
Are they not, like, just Clayman's, like, servants?
I can't tell you.
These are the fuckler. These are the Komaitas, aren't they? The fucking clowns.
I mean, kinda, sorta.
They're just here for drama, aren't they?
They have, like, a thing, but, like, I can't tell you without... Big spoilers.
It's cool. I'm just like, God, of course it's the fucking clowns.
They're involved with Clayman, just not in that way. They are Clayman is like involved with them, but they don't work for Clayman.
Oh.
That's all I'll tell you.
Interesting.
Yeah, but you know, that's a whole fucking thing. And then I think it's super interesting that like the first part of the series is like very like, you know, lighthearted, and then like the Shizu shit happens, and it's like bam, like okay, now we're gonna punch you right in the honey nut filios. Actually,
now here's the sad bit. Here's the real swing set.
Here's the real swing set. Here's the hey. What if we took, like, the entire concept of an isekai hero and made it really tragic, actually? Like, yeah, oh, yeah, damn.
Yeah,
Oh, man, who put these onions here?
I think it was pretty... It's less, like, the sad stuff was just like, oh, that sucks. It was more just Rimuru's way of, like, alleviating. It was actually very interesting and actually very sweet. Because instead of, like, tragic fight and I just wish I could go back, Rimuru was like, no, he actually did... He actually did stop her from doing the bad thing with, like, the Ifrit spirit. Get rid of that from her soul so she could be free. And in her last moments, she was like, hey, before that, she showed her, like, hey, by the way, Japan's still kicking. We're all still alive. We're all having a good time. The worst era of Japanese history thus far came and went, and everyone is still alive and well, and I'm sure there is, like, as sad as I'm sure that you are not forgotten... You are so like everything's cool, and that was just like a very nice thing to do. That in other shows, very much they would have either glossed over, or just had like a "Don't worry, we the Japanese got through this." Like no, he just showed her. He just literally showed her everything, like that it's all good. And then like
No.
I was gonna say that like. Just going back to what I was going to say earlier but with the Geld stuff, like, I love it. I love cannibalism as an act of love. Cannibalism as an act of kindness and love. Like, I love the way they animated, like, the Predator skill as not, like, just the usual, like, schlorp, but, like, as, like, a wave of the ocean just carrying her away. That was, like, probably one of the most... That sequence actually made me tear up a bit. Because it was, like... When the show wants to be serious and, like, heartwarming, it can do that, and I feel an emotion. I just had an emotion.
About this silly little slime show.
Silly little slime show, because he's just like, you know what, I'll take away this burden from you, I'll show you that this world that has taken from you can actually be very beautiful, I'll carry your burdens. You can rest now. And it's like, it was nice. It was nice. I make the Naruto swing set jokes, but it was very nice and sweet. I hope it doesn't. I hope it is not played out. But from what you said, there's probably a few more next season.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the one of the next main villain kind of gets a swing set moment. But it's one of those ones where I'm like, yeah, no, fuck you, though.
I'm glad that's a thing, because I want at least one where I'm like, no, fuck you, fuck you, Obito, you are not that cool of a guy.
It's kind of that. It's mostly just
Anakin, you are not deserve to be there, get out of here, we are having a good party right now, get out. You don't deserve that.
No one in the scene... is sympathizing with him. It's just like we, the audience, get to see it, and it's like, yeah, and then it's like, okay, now you die now, bye. You know, that's it. That's it. No one in the actual, like, series itself gets to hear the sad backstory and feel about it.
Yeah, even the ones where it's like characters, like, don't die, just, like, have, like, a sad moment. Like, what's his face? The scientist dude who just, like...
Oh, yeah,
we didn't need to get his backstory, but him being like, I just wanted to serve in the king's grace. I wanted to be by his side, even when I was a kid. Now I have fallen. It's like...
And he gets to, like, do stuff later.
No, like that's... That was such... It feels like an RPG where you go through, like, a plot thread that you're not supposed to, like, go through. Like, a secret route, and you just... you don't get anything crazy, just like, oh, hey, here's this new party member. But you get, like, such a fucking well-written little scenario, and it's like, yeah. Damn.
I really wish there was, like, a game of this. Like, if it was, like, a town RPG sim. Like,
I think there's
sim,
a game or two, because I was looking around for, like, just character voices, and I didn't see that there was a game on PS4. I don't know if it's, like, an RPG or not. There's got to be at least two. There's got to be at least a couple games, maybe, like, some Japan exclusive. But I know there's one here in English.
Mm-hmm. There's, like, a gacha game, obviously.
Oh, fucking... I assume so.
Yeah, it's, like, Slime Isekai Memories or whatever I think it's called. I'm not sure. Excuse me. But, yeah, I'll have to...
Huh.
There's, like, an RPG where you get, like, to build... Jura, build, like, a town and hang out with the characters. That's all I want. I just want, like, a thing where I get to build a town and hang out with the characters. That's it. That's all I want.
Ah, dang it, I rolled Gabiru again.
Oh, man, Gabiru's a 3-star. Can't even get a gold.
Oh, no, I got 4-star Gabiru. He's even worse.
4-star Gabiru is even worse than 3-star Gabiru. It's like how 3-star Ku is the best version of Ku.
Yeah.
The 3-star Lancer Ku was, like, one of the best characters in the game.
Yeah. But yeah, there are slime games. I assume, like, I've seen, like, what I was looking at on my site, on my legal sites for anime streaming, obviously, I saw lots of various side media, like OVAs, extra episodes.
Yeah, a bunch of OVAs.
Episode 24 is kind of a extra episode.
Yeah, it kind of is, but it is important because it sets up something else. It sets up Diablo, mainly.
Who I am sure is a very good, swell person, not a fuckler.
Yeah, Diablo... We'll see him in Season 2. We'll see Diablo later.
I swear to God, if he has a swing set, I'm going to kill him.
Not yet! Not as of where I've seen, but he has stuff going on, clearly. So, you know, and I still don't quite know his entire deal yet, even at this point in the story. But he's got stuff. We shall see. And also, you know, eventually we'll get the rejoining of the fucking Tempest Brothers with Rimuru and Veldora at some point.
Oh.
I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? Like, he's eventually, Veldora's gonna come back.
I know, I remember, like, don't worry, I'll find a way to get you out of this prison. I just thought that was, like...
Oh, yeah, no, that happens, eventually.
Oh!
Yeah.
Damn, Rimuru keeps his word.
Rimuru keeps his word, and Veldora becomes, like, a character. He's, like, around.
Oh, shit, okay. I'm seeing how the Fire Emblem party is being built right now. I'm seeing how the lineup, the bullpen is being set up.
Yeah, I still need to watch Season 3, but I was like, I only needed to watch Season 1, but I was like, I ended up just rewatching the entirety of Season 2, because I was like, man, this show's so good.
Yeah, I hope it just goes up from here.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think Season 2 is also really, really good.
Most of my negatives, just like, yeah, anime bullshit aside, like, just like... Oh fuck! The big issue I really had was just that, like, the last three episodes feel like kind of hacked on, but at the same time, like, I see why they're introduced things. It's really just more like character design stuff. The monsters getting, like, I don't want to say whitewashed, but you know what I mean, like, just human washed.
No, I know they become more vanilla. Like, it's kind of like what cowards, right?
They're good now, which means they have to look like people. Rimuru is stronger and now, so he has to have a person form. And I'm like, I'm glad that he still goes back to slime mode. I'm sure that they, like, don't get rid of that, but it does.
I mean, that I understand, because it's,
oh,
like,
yeah, no, like, you have to have, like, you
when you give Rimuru, like, a humanoid form, he can interact with characters better.
Yes, but when he's a slime, it means you can animate him in funny little ways, and he does funny little things.
And yeah, also it means you can animate cooler fights if he has humanoid form.
That's true. It's like... Well, I mean, okay, I'd say cooler fights with slime form, because it's, like, less things to design. It is just a ball of slime. I think he...
I mean, yeah, but you know what I mean.
No, I know. It's like, he can hold swords, he can do cool magic punch things. It's just that, like, when Rimuru fights the slime, it's so expressive. He's so expressive as a fucking slime, man.
Yeah, and also, it means that, like, you can see, like, the more subtle, like, we can read Rimuru's emotions as a slime, but, like, when he has a human face, you know, it's
and
like...
Yeah, this animation, this is a book now, so we don't have to just imagine slime and see his inner, like, thoughts with reading. I get you.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm here for this, like, I'm glad that his human form is very, like, androgynous, you know? Like, I dig that.
That's the fucking scene, like, what if I was a cool dude? Oh, shoot, what if I was a cool girl? Ah, shit, no. Too much.
I looked like Shizu. That was weird.
That was weird, we're not doing that anymore. I think I'll stay in the middle.
I think I'll stay in between the two. I'll stay in the two. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, also just the... When you said, like, Rimuru was, like, bi, ? I was like, okay, this show's not gonna give me that. It's like, no, he keeps referring to... It's always, like, with the girls, it's like, oh, damn, she's cute, or damn, her boobs... Or, like, it's like, wow, big boobs. But the other guys, it's like, wow, so he's really handsome and attractive and so good at everything. Man, Betty Marlowe's so handsome and attractive and, like, a good friend.
Yeah,
literally. He takes more time describing how hot dudes are in the same way that, like, you know, dude bros talk about each other. And I get that, but also, like, damn, bro.
My favorite is in the Japanese, like, I think the sub, when Rimuru is talking about, like, Soe, he, like, they straight up refer to Soe as a dreamboat.
God.
And I'm like, yeah, all right. Thank you for this delicious food.
Now all we gotta do is get Rimuru on the old man pack and we win.
Yeah, maybe, I guess Rimuru just has a type. He just likes really handsome bishi men. He likes the Ikemen. And I'm like, you know what? I don't blame him. I get it. Benny Mar was hot.
He was hot already. He was more of an ogre, but, you know, his hair was floofier, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that way about most of the ogres, so, you know.
That is correct. Oh, no, the fucking joke of, like, what does Kurobe look like? Hey, Riru, what's up? It's like, oh, he's just a dude. He just looks like a guy.
He's just like an old, he's just like a middle-aged old man.
He's just a guy.
He just looks like a guy.
He just looks like a guy.
This is my favorite.
I thought he was gonna get turned to like some like extra Bishonen, but like.
Nah, he's just like some middle-aged dude.
Just some guy, like, not really, like, not ugly, not really attractive, just a guy. He looks like a guy from the real world, the regular world.
And then Hakuro became like a hot old man.
He was already that, but hey. Whatever. No, I get what they did. It's funny. I like Hakuro too. I've seen, as the kids say, I've seen footage of the things he might do in season two, and I'm like, I'm excited. He's got a little bit of the judgment cuts. He's got a little bit of the swords. He can do some stuff. Old man Grandpa's got some moves.
Old man Grandpa's got some fucking moves. He's a cool guy. I'm really glad you ended up enjoying it.
Yeah, I very much treat this like I said, just great eggs and ham of, like, I'm not a big isekai guy, and I am very, like, picky about the anime I watch if it's not, like, mecha. Even then, I'm still, like, picky about the mecha I watch, so I try to, like, I'm very somewhat proud in the fact that I don't watch, like, new shit, but, you know, Slime as, like, a light novel, like, popular, like, web novel, light novel series goes, and, like, as anime goes, it's not bad. It's just, like, I could put it on the TV, or I could put it on the background, and I would not hate it. And, actually, yeah. I don't know, even further, I would enjoy it. I would get a kick out of it, and I'm glad I can, like, name these characters now, because I will admit, seeing this thing be on, like, advertised every fucking year all over the place, and see these characters at, like, conventions and shit, it's like, yeah, I want to know what their deal is. Seeing Rimuru at, like, S+ or fucking SSS on fucking power scaling tier lists, I'm like, damn, that's cool. He don't beat Goku, but that's cool.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know what he gets later, so who knows? Who even knows, man?
Yeah, well, it's not Super Saiyan 4. It's not Big Bang Kamehameha.
Don't you mean it's not Ultra Instinct?
No, I think Super Saiyan 4 is stronger. Fuck you.
I think they actually definitively proved that it's not in Super Dragon Ball Superhero.
I don't care. GT's doesn't matter. Uncle Ben. GT beats them all. Doesn't matter.
I straight up think that like Xeno Super Saiyan 4 Goku had a fight with Ultra Instinct Super Goku and Super like, Ultra Instinct Super Goku 1.
You said a lot of fucking words that didn't make any sense, so I'm just gonna pretend that you that what you said was GT is awesome and cool. But also,
it,
like,
is it though?
Listen back to what you just said and tell me that wasn't not fucking nonsense and like three different Gokus in one sentence.
I mean, listen, I could have said Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan.
The fact that it's still... Why? Everyone just calls it Blue. It's Blue.
They do, but it is very funny. It's because they made the mistake of making the original form Super Saiyan God.
Just call it Red and Blue. Fuck it, who cares, man? It's like Kryptonite. But yeah, roundabout way of me saying that I like Slime. I like Tensura. I like Reincarnated as a Slime. It's neat. It's not something that I'm going to, like, actively make my personality... But it's like it makes me think. Yeah, no, I like the isekai genre. I like the fantasy genre in anime. I like when it's done in a way that's just like celebrating the little tropes. I got very much big Dragon Quest vibes, and I know that was intentional. But I'm glad they like even the music has like that sort of kind of vibe to it with a little bit of like some little bit of sauce there. There's some tracks that are like they go a little hard.
Yeah, I think some of the fight tracks are actually really, really good. So looking forward to doing season 2 with you at a later date.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I know a few characters from like again, just power scaling list. There are party members we have not seen yet. There is one that I've only ever seen in the visual novel. The light novel that was described to me by a friend. And whenever they ever do show up, if at all, I need to see, because they are kind of my shit. But we're not gonna...
Oh, is it the bug
it's
guy?
It's the bug guy, and
yeah.
It's the bug guy, and yeah. Whatever that happens, that's when I give a shit. But also, I'm excited to see how, like... I'm excited to see how this sort of improves.
Yeah. For sure. But, yeah, that's... I think that's it for us. That ended up being a pretty decent talk, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a season one, so it's like, if we're talking about the whole thing, it'd be a, like different. It's still, the thing's still fucking going is the problem. It's like...
Oh yeah, it is. Like, season three literally just aired, and the light novels are still ongoing, you know?
So it's, in the event that we never talk about Slam ever, I will say that as a, just a one season thing, as a universe... Respect. Nice.
Yeah, no.
I
definitely want to talk about it again, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk about season two, and, you know, it'll be a fun time.
Yeah.
But, that won't be next time, because I think we did decide what we wanted to do next time, correct?
Oh, fuck. We've been on such a big a gap compared to, like, last two episodes.
Yeah, I think we decided to talk about the original Transformers movie and Transformers 1.
That's right. Oh, that's right. That was... Because I was being pedantic and saying that, if you talk about your thing, I guess we have to talk about my thing, which is also your thing, and we always talk about my thing because it's Transformers. It's always relevant.
Mm-hmm. It's always relevant. So, yeah, next episode, we're going to talk about the original... Transformers the Animated Movie and the newest Transformers Animated Movie, Transformers 1.
Spoilers, they're both fucking good.
Spoiler alert, they're both fucking good. I think the outro song for this might be the Touch by Stan Bush. It'll probably be one of the songs from Slime, actually. I'll figure
it out. I was gonna say, no, make it Fat Planet. For Beasties.
Beast Machines. You know, thanks for joining us.
thanks for...
It's been a while since we did this, but because now that I finally made the transition, hey, if you like this show, and you like me, you can go check me out on kaijuemperor.bluesky.social.
Woo, yay!
Woo,
yay!
go Yeah, go follow me on the Blue Sky.
You can also follow me on Blue Sky at JankJunkJPEG. I'm a good robot, Slurp.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any sense.
And you can still follow me. You can still follow me on Tumblr at KaijuEmperor.tumblr.com. But anyway, that's the show. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you guys next time. Don't be a jackass. Bye.
Bye bye. Something bigger than a tale of fiction that nobody knows. I will write another page that does not have a name. Above to see tomorrow shining with hope. Don't know what it's called. I'm stuck in my dull routine. That future taunts me with a life that I never have known. Try to touch it, but